Europe. This is Previously in Europe, a podcast about what's previously in Europe. I'm your co-host Hugh in London. I'm your lovely co-host Kieran in Berlin. Say hello, Kieran.
There are three minimum requirements to be called universal basic income. Is it universal, is it basic, and is it income?
That's a, you know, when you have a joke at the start of the episode.
I'm tired.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Yes. Yeah, we are still here in quarantine times, bringing you positive political analysis and policy discussions from Europe this week. A recurring segment. Have you considered UBI in Spain? Have you considered is a segment where we talk about a topic and decide whether it is Matteo Salvini in nature, Matteo Renzi in nature, or actually good. Matteo Salvini being the far-right politician from Italy who's bad. Matteo Renzi being the nominally center-left, but now actively centrist, failing politician in Italy who asked once, have you considered Matteo Renzi? And the Italian public said, we have, and we didn't like you. and actually good being an actually good thing. This week we were discussing the oddly it was like localized to English language media entirely covering on a very surface level a policy announcement at the start of April from the Spanish government, where the Spanish government effectively were saying we're moving forward a existing policy we plan to bring in, which was an additional benefit for people who have no income or income below a very low level, to give them supplementary income. And people misunderstood this, possibly due to mistranslation reasons, is my only assumption, and started reporting Spain is bringing in universal basic income, or UBI, as it's well known. This was covered in many places to name. I could root back most of the articles I was able to find to a Bloomberg article, which is what most people were citing, or a Forbes article, which most people were citing. And so this is, I guess we can talk about the bad aspects of this first to give a negative case for why this is not great and not what not a good solution to the problem at hand, which is many people becoming unemployed very quickly. So the first, as Kieran alluded to, it is not universal. How would you define universal, Kieran?
Okay, so I would say universal for me, for a universal basic income, is okay, there is three things I would think that could probably pass the universal test in talking of universal basic income. One, you give it to all citizens of a given territory. Two, you give it to all legal residents of a given territory. And three, you give it to everyone in the legal in the territory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would be kind of my preferred outcome, but like, I don't think this isn't either any of those three.
No, yeah, so that's not what Spain is doing. So the estimate the Spanish government is saying is they estimate this will, in the next few months, go to about a million households. So for context, Spain has about 46 million people living in it. A million households would, like, on average, work out about 3 million people. So, like, a small percentage of the overall population, but not, like, an insignificant number of people, would be affected by this new policy. And it would be money they're otherwise not getting. So this is the Ingreso Minimal Vital, which is the minimum vital income, is how you directly translate it. It does not translate to universal in any way. So that's the main thing. It is not universal. Basically, it means, the concept of it, once the entire policy is rolled out, is that there would be a guaranteed income floor across the population. And, like, you get effectively what you have in most other countries, and actually in a lot of countries you have some form of this already, but you kind of have a more piecemeal version of it in most Western European countries, at least, where, a lot of countries that have state pensions, for instance, you kind of have, like, a minimum guaranteed income for elderly people, would kind of be one way of looking at that. And then often places will have differing benefit systems. And the concept of this is to have, if you lose your job, to kind of simplify the unemployment insurance mechanism, so that it's not means tested in the same kind of ways, because you might not actually be able to find a job, for instance, if you've some form of like, oh, you need to find a job within this amount of time and your insurance runs out, instead of have like a, you know, system by which you can encourage people to go find jobs but not make it like dependent on various things, make it dependent on like how much money they could physically have coming in if they wanted to. So like this is kind of the one of the, what I think is the strongest argument for something like UBI, is that it would be universal. So it then makes it a lot more difficult to argue against, because you immediately cut out the argument of you're giving handouts to this portion of the population, which is often an argument people put forward against specific benefit systems, because they'll find some reason or some example of people in the group you've selected who they view as undeserving, and therefore they can try and paint the benefit itself as invalid. So like the US examples of people like who scam the food stamp system, or that scam the food stamp system.
The very racialized term of welfare queen.
Yeah. Which is like, you know, shouldn't you know diminish the importance of like a particular program like that, but it is used as a cudgel, which for someone who doesn't know a lot about it, or like doesn't have the time to read a lot about it, is a relatively convincing argument, because it makes logical sense. You're like, oh, I can see that is a way you could scam it, so people just scam it, so it's too scammable would be the problem. The idea of this is that a universal one would be universal, and there'd be, if there's no means testing, then realistically the only way you could argue you could scam it is by I can't think of one. But so it's like that is not what this is. This is a intended to put it in an income floor, and actually it does not strictly do that, as well as kind of we'll get into. The other like big thing about this that I think is, you know, making it undeserving of any hype around it, is that what they're actually doing is, it's one of the policies they worked out in their coalition agreement between the PSOE, so Pablo Iglesias, or no, Pedro Sanchez's Socialist Party, and Iglesias's Unidas Podemos. It was part of their coalition agreement, was to devise some sort of general mechanism to guarantee earnings for families, either with low or no income. So the idea was to put in some sort of income floor. So I think the number that they're thinking about for this program, because it's going to start rolling out in May initially to single parent households, I think is the initial target for the first group, is 500 euros per adult would be the number they're picking for this an initial rollout, to kind of, you know, stop the dam breaking, I guess, during the pandemic. I think this was very much sold to me initially by the headlines I saw of it as like some sort of new program they were coming up with that was very, very radical. But actually it's possibly a good policy, but they're just moving forward what was going to be a very slow, long tail rollout with no specific date attached to it, to we're starting this in May, some form of it is starting in May immediately. So we're not the first people to point this out, obviously. There's articles since that are kind of discussing more broadly about would universal income be a good idea to kind of solve some of the initial problems of the pandemic. So like it is unavoidable that some parts of the economy are going to like take either a long time to come back or die and have to be replaced, which will take a long time. So arguing that universal basic income might be a good idea, and then we'll mention as caveats, oh, and Spain is bringing in this thing, which is not universal basic income, but it might be a good idea relating to this. But it was always a good idea. This is the thing about it, is that it was always a good idea. It's just that it's not new. It's something they've been talking about, and like a very, very tamped down version of what Iglesias and Podemos would actually want. It's the coalition agreement that came to the PSOE with. I think it's become quite unhelpful, because like framing this as like a radical thing they're doing, because one, it's not that unusual, you know, in the respects of it might be going slightly further than a lot of other countries. But for instance, I saw like a article in Deutsche Welle where they were discussing it as, this is Spain's version of this benefit we already have in Germany, which is like partly true, but I think it's unhelpful for, you know, people to be talking about, this is what Spain's doing and it's a good idea and it solves our problem. We should be doing this.
Yeah.
Specifically like writing Coming Out of America, talking about, well, if our government was doing what Spain's doing, that would be great. It's like, well, yes, I know this, having like an income floor would be obviously an incredibly radical shift in America. And in Spain, it's a great policy in a way, but it's not what you think it is. And it's actually slightly unhelpful for you framing it like that, because it insinuates to people that, you could do some form of UBI, and in Spain, it's only going to cost 5 billion euros initially, which seems very affordable, actually, when you frame it like that.
I mean, well, yeah, in the perspective of, like, governments when they're, like, talking in trillions, it's probably fine, but, yeah, still, it's considering this isn't the full, like, UBI rollout, that's quite a high price tag.
Yeah, it's like it's a cost on par with the benefit they're providing. It seems like a realistic cost for providing like supplementary income to a small proportion of the population who you expect to get back into employment at some point in the near future. So you know, like it's plugging what otherwise is a hole in their social safety net, which actually does need fixing.
That's fair.
I think the other thing I find unhelpful about it, that I think I wouldn't frame it as a good thing necessarily, is that it insinuates there's now some sort of consensus-driven solutions happening in Spain, which is very, very far from the truth.
No, yeah, the Sanchez is being challenged. There's concerns he won't be able to extend the like lockdown period.
Yeah. So in fact, yeah, like talking about that specifically, there is. Like, so Podemos and like the PSOE have come out saying that we need to, you know, extend like a lot of the emergency measures to keep the kind of tail down of the new cases, to keep it going. And effectively now all of the other parties have come out and said they won't support it. And to get it through in the first place, they basically need the PP, who were the conservatives, to... largely to abstain from voting for the extension in order to get it to pass, because a lot of the smaller parties have come out and said they're not going to do it. So the Catalonian Republican Left Party have said that they're not going to support it, which actually makes the electoral math or the parlementary math not work out for Sanchez anymore. Which is the thing. I think this. From the outside, it seems like, oh, initially Spain was hit very hard, but then like they've really, really come together. But the political reality on the ground is that the moving to the right trajectory of the PP has continued, and Vox have not become less crazy. They are effectively doing the, you know, Trump stance of like free the country for the economy position. They're doing some form of that, and. I don't know what Ciudadanos are doing, but I can't imagine it's great.
Yeah.
Nothing? Are they doing nothing? I think they're doing nothing.
They're doing nothing, yeah. I'm very curious, what's their polling like? Because, so the general trend of polling has been, as I probably said before, in favor of government over opposition. But some opposition parties are doing okay, but then, you know, you have to deal with the fact that some of them have also just like, had fairly lackluster answers to coronavirus and have performed badly because of it. They're kind of holding. They've been fluctuating between 6 and 7%. They've been doing nothing. There was a huge dip when the last snap election was called, when they were at like 13%, and now they're at half that. So I'd say they're probably just doing nothing.
There's been opinion polls in Spain that have basically said that the Spanish people want the you know, there were to be a consensus decision made. Whereas effectively what's happening now is the government are being like, can we extend the emergency measures? And the opposition are saying, Sanchez is the real fascist. you need to get him out of office immediately. This government is illegitimate. And you're like, that's not... I see you're not willing to meet anyone halfway. Because the PP are still, you know, terrified Vox are going to surge due to this. They're continuing their previous trajectory. It's not changed, unfortunately. I think we'll probably talk... We might talk about Portugal on another episode, but the... There seems to have been more of a consensus approach taken there. There's not like the insane continuation of like hyper fragmentation going on that you get in that you have in Spain, which I think is, you know, remarkable. Yeah. I think, you know,
the electoral conditions there haven't manifested though, because like their right wing equivalent, Chega, can't remember, is nowhere near as. Nowhere near the numbers polling that Vox polls. Yeah. But like current polling has Vox as like the third biggest party in Spain.
Which is awful.
Yep.
Yeah. I think I feel like that's the kind of broad scope of why I think at least the coverage of this and the, you know, we shouldn't be celebrating too much this like new benefit that's, you know, the Spanish government is bringing in, because one, it's not UBI to begin with. If it were, that'd be a very different conversation, and that might be like, oh no, legitimately, like, I'm shocked they managed to convince anyone to do this. But I'm not super surprised they managed to convince people to do this. This is more than some countries are doing, and it is really good to be having a new benefit. But I think it both implies that the Spanish government is taking a more radical approach than they are, and probably not as radical as they should be. In order to deal with what is like a, you know, immense challenge for them, and it also implies that the Sanchez government is a lot more stable than it is, which, you know, it's not, to be frank. That's all the bad stuff I had. Do you have any additional bad things you don't like about it?
No, I think other than the fact that it's possibly misleading people on what's happening within Spain internationally is not great. I don't know. I guess ultimately it would not be good, because like the only benefit you could really argue is that it maybe radicalizes populations instead of Spain to say, oh, like we can have universal basic income. But then as soon as you bring up the fact that any of those advocates bring up the fact that like, oh, Spain has it, they're just like, ah, well, no, they don't. And then the whole thing's scuppered. So yeah, it's not great that people think this is universal basic income. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. I think any of the people who have said it is on closer inspection would realize otherwise, but it does create we were talking off mic about like the, Canadian like income protection thing they're bringing in as also being heralded as like Canada's talking about UBI. It was like, this is really, really heavily watering down like the concept of this, and it's starting to make the term possibly what is a very straightforward and clear term. I think it's starting to like make it appear you could do something a lot more piecemeal and then claim that's a very, very radical change, when it's not. It'll actually affect a very small number of people overall. I have some good points about it. Do you want to hear why it's good?
Yes, let's go.
So it's really good. The Iglesias in an interview in a New Statesman by everyone's friend, what's his name? Internet load. Paul Mason. Everyone loves Paul Mason.
I see. Yeah, I see. You were doing a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke that very much depended on my internet loading faster for me to remember a name or my memory to work better. But neither played out. But so the thing that he's made very clear in this and another many interviews is that they want this to remain in place. This isn't a temporary measure that they're bringing in. The idea is to have a permanent floor of living standards across Spain. And effectively, Iglesias is saying, I don't know the details specifically of it, but like, his contention is that there's a version of this that the Basque regional government had been running anyway. And effectively, we're running a version of their policy across Spain. And then effectively, he's saying, like, without some sort of ambitious fiscal stimulus like this, the current crisis won't like resolve, you'll have, you won't have a U-shape like economy of any sort, even no matter how wide your U is. You'll have an L-shape where it's going to go down and that's it, because people will just like run out of money, and if you've no income coming in, that's it, and you'll have lots and lots of children in poverty very quickly. I think also it is genuinely like something like as a concept of just having you have this thing in the UK called universal credit, which which the concept of sounds really, really good on paper, and that effectively is what this is as well, which is like a minimal vital income. So you'll have all of your benefit system merge into one system where anytime your income comes under this level, plus some means testing and other caveats, you have to, like, the state will help you hit that level, and we'll try and make that level like survivable is the idea. In the UK, effectively what they did, they did it in order to like make like cut benefits and make benefits more like a job, and take people off the benefit system much easier because it's all centralized and easy to cut people out of. The idea of doing this in Spain and making this permanent and absorbing other systems into this actually is quite a good idea, as long as you set the bar at a livable amount and don't make the means testing too arduous, or gradually get rid of the means testing perhaps and just have no means testing. That would be fine. I think this is actually, like, from the perspective of a country like the USA, potentially, where their social safety net is like much holier than the Spanish one is currently. Seeing Spain put together like an actual social welfare reform that, you know, has the potential to broadly, tangibly, like, impact people's lives who are in need, and make, like, greatly simplify their worry of economic precarity, is actually a really good thing, and would be like an enormous change somewhere where you don't have a particularly secure social welfare system to begin with. So I think, you know, it is good. It's just not Spain has solved all our problems for us as much as I'd like it to be. But I mean, if the US announced that they were doing this instead of like a one-off payment, and they were just like, in perpetuity, there's now a minimum income in the US, and if you can show via means testing that you need the money, we'll give it to you. And it's just like, that's so different to what they have. So I mean, yeah. This is the thing. It is making, it is laying some credence to, you could have a red government that, like, is, you know, doing some reasonable reforms of a system that has problems, and making it like both simpler and better potentially.
Yeah, it's definitely something that can benefit a society that's really far off from this point, but it to be honest seems like very lackluster in a Spanish or a European context. I particularly do not like means testing for the purposes of just making it difficult. Like, I think the thing I appreciated the most about, like, there was means testing in Germany, but the means testing for the things that were given out in Berlin were very, like, the means testing itself was very minimal and made, like, accessing relief quite easy for some people.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think even their scheme of like rolling it out to single parents first seemed very unnecessary. I feel like roll it out to everyone that you were going to roll it out to.
Yeah, I think I think this is the thing. If you have something that's in any way means tested, this is kind of I would argue the main argument against means testing is you create an unnecessary bottleneck on your system. So you end up with people who weren't able to receive their like emergency state assistance due to admin volume constraints.
Yeah.
And like, what point is the benefit if it takes like 2 months to apply for? So I think the idea of rolling it out gradually, because they've already agreed they're going to have some sort of means testing on it, is to basically say, you all get it immediately. We're identifying you as needing it immediately, which, I mean, is not ideal by any means. I understand why they're doing it. I agree you could just make it open to everyone, but I suspect then the problem you would have would be everyone complaining that in practice no one is actually getting it, the rate of people, because they're just dealing with new incoming applications. They don't have any, like, the speed at which they're actually going through them is too slow.
Yeah.
So you kind of glob up the whole system. But I mean, yeah, it's not good. It's just I guess it's the way it is. I think realistically at this point, if the choice was between, because again, the Sanchez government is a lot more precarious than it initially seems from the outside.
Yeah.
If the choice is between, them not being able to get any additional benefit, or rolling it out group by group, I mean, that's kind of semi okay. I think we'll know a lot more about it later in the month when they start rolling this out properly and seeing what the problems are with it, because it sounds like there are going to be problems. I don't know how arduous the means testing are. I wasn't able to find out the specifics, because again, they haven't worked out all of the kinks as far as I can tell.
I even trying to figure out the positive, if there is a positive to what's happening, would be great, because you need to let these things roll for a bit to see the effects, I guess.
That's also true.
Something that we can hopefully look forward to. But is it time to give our rating, Hugh? Do you have any final comments?
Let me think. Do I have any more neutral comments? They've all been neutral comments. All the bad things about it are like, it was misunderstood by English journalists, and they made me get quite excited very briefly earlier in the month, and then immediately disappointed when I clicked on a few links. I was like, oh. This is not what you said it was, but your art, the egregious thing I find about, obviously, you know, your bar should be low for expecting people to correct their articles, but, the egregiousness of, there being no corrections on most of the links I could find about this from earlier in April, which still just say, oh, there's UBI in Spain in May, you're like, but there's not. I don't know where you got this from, but go change it. is my main thing about it, but I think there's a positive from it. Yeah, so would you give this a Matteo Matteo or actually good?
I'm gonna say this is a Matteo Renzi.
Yeah,
because this seems like what Matteo Renzi would have done in Italy if he was still in power.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I think things would have more arduous means testing.
Probably, yeah, but I just feel like not too far removed.
No.
How about you? How are you feeling?
I would say in Spain, this is Matteo Renzi, but in most other countries, it would actually be good. And I feel like in a lot of countries this would be a big expansion of the social welfare system and or the simplification of it, but in Spain it's a mild improvement, much similar to actual Matteo Renzi, because Matteo Renzi would be great news in a lot of countries, but like if Matteo Renzi was
in charge of Poland,
if Matteo Renzi was in charge of Poland, he'd be doing the current Polish government's policies, but not racist.
It would be very funny. There's an Italian man in charge.
Yeah, but even if he was in the UK, he'd be, you know, soft left, at least Labour Party person. That'd be fine. That'd be quite good. It wouldn't be actively bad. But in Spain, it's kind of mediocre, I'd say, at best. I think this is an example of the kind of stuff you'll expect from the Sanchez government, which is kind of, you know, stuff they can argue is a sensible reform / mild expansion of the welfare state, which I think is good. I think it's what you would realistically have expected if you were a PSOE voter or a Podemos voter hoping they get into government with the PSOE. This is what you would realistically expect to happen, is the PSOE argue for more government spending on benefits for people on low or no income, and then they do it and it gets approved. I think making it permanent is quite good. I think overall it's as like, because it's not what you're seeing in a lot of countries where they're announcing, oh, there's a temporary system for companies to like not pay their staff and furlough them, or there's like a one-off check, or there's like this temporary, we're very clear it's temporary. Whereas like the Spanish government, I think, is quite stand out to be basically just being like, we are expanding the welfare state, that's it, it's happened. Which I think is good. I'm changing to actually good, I'm on board.
Okay.
only because it's permanent. So I'm gonna rebrand it as a permanent ingreso minimal vital,
permanent conditional income.
Yeah, permanent means tested income. I think a lot of the means test, like, as I do want to come revisit this at some point when at some point we'll do a roundup of like government responses to the economic problems of the coronavirus, possibly. It's something I quite like to do at some point. And when we know more about what the pitfalls of this are, my understanding of the means test is things like they're going to check your assets. So if you like own multiple houses, you can't be like, but I lost my job, the Spanish government don't care. But as it depends how stringent that kind of stuff is or how arduous the means testing is. I would prefer to have no means testing because it would be a lot simpler and faster and easier to argue that it's fair. But you know, if there's only so much money, they're putting up for it. I guess you have to means test it, which is shit, but that's the way it is.
Oh, and with that resounding, that's the way it is. From pro status quo member of previously in Europe.
Hey.
Boo hiss.
I'm all for change. I want like very radical change, but I'm just saying, in Spain, you're not going to get it. This is what you have. Get on board the Pablo Iglesias ponytail train.
You can start throwing your state sanctioned paella at at you. Hugh's allergic to a lot of things. There's probably something he's allergic to in paella.
If you make like genuine paella with fish in it, I can't eat it. But if you make it, with no fish and just like chicken or something and like sausage, then it's fine.
If you just make like tasty rice.
Yeah. I make paella. I just don't put the fish in because
That's right.
It's poisonous.
And that was another episode of Previously in Europe. Previously in Europe is recorded and produced by Hugh O'Brien and Kieran Dold. If you like the show, tell your friends about it. That's kind of probably the best way we can spread the word, is by having you guys spread the word for us. Thank you, minions. Yes, but if there's anyone in your life who you think might like the podcast, let them know about it. Similarly, if you've done that already, you can go to Apple Podcasts' Previously in Europe page, which you can find on our website, previouslyineurope.eu. And there, you can leave us a review. A nice, shiny 4 or 5 star review with some comments would be greatly appreciated. Lastly, if you've done all that and you have some change to spare, you can go to patreon.com/previouslyineurope and you can leave us some money so that we can keep the podcasting lights on. If you donate a certain amount, you will get some bonus episodes. We recently did one on the micro states of Europe, and that's up now and you can listen to it. Similarly, we also shout out your name if you donate above $3. So if you donate above $3, you will get your name read out on the podcast like these cool cats. Dermot Burke, Drew Azarian, Justin Paul Sammons, Michael Hall, Newt Alexander, Noah McLaughlin, Patrick Seba, Petra V, Subliminal Kid, and Svenvest. So if you want to be like them, send us some money. Lastly, you can find us on social media. We have a Facebook group, which you can join if you want to, as long as you don't look like a bot. We have a Twitter account at Prev in Europe, at P-R-E-V in Europe. And lastly, we have our website where you can find all the other information you might need to get in contact with us, previouslyineurope.eu. Thanks for listening.